This article is brought to you by the best-selling booksy Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. The psychology behind setting the first offer. Why the first number spoken shapes everything that follows in a negotiation. In short, the first number spoken in a negotiation exerts a gravitational pull on everything that follows. Setting the first offer is not just a tactical choice, it is a psychological act that reshapes how both sides perceive value, fairness, and possible outcomes. Whoever sets the anchor controls the reference point from which all adjustments are made. The effect persists even when both sides know it is happening. Preparation before you name a number is what separates a powerful anchor from an expensive mistake. Definition: setting the first offer in negotiation is the act of naming an opening number or position before your counterpart does. This anchor creates a cognitive reference point that disproportionately influences the final agreement, regardless of whether the anchor is objectively reasonable. There is a moment in almost every negotiation when someone has to speak first. Most people dread it. They worry about going too high, too low, or too soon. So they hold back, waiting, hoping the other side will reveal their number first. What they do not realize is that in that hesitation, they are surrendering the most powerful move available to them. The psychology of anchoring shows us that setting the first offer does not just open the conversation, it shapes the entire territory the conversation will move through. I have watched this play out in salary discussions, contract negotiations, and business deals for 6 decades. The pattern never changes. Whoever plants the first number controls the ground. Why the first number has such disproportionate power? The anchor works because of how the human mind handles uncertainty. When we do not know what something is worth, our brain reaches for the nearest available number and uses it as a starting point. We then adjust from that point, but we almost never adjust far enough. The adjustment stops the moment we reach a figure that feels plausible, not a figure that reflects true value. That stopping point is heavily shaped by wherever we started. This is not a flaw in people who lack experience. It happens to everyone. A person who knows a market well still feels the pull of an opening bid. The awareness of the effect does not cancel the effect. That is one of the most important things to understand about anchoring. Knowing the trap exists does not spring you out of it. The practical consequence is direct. If you anchor high in a negotiation where you are selling, the final figure will be higher than if your counterpart had anchored first. If you anchor low when you're buying, the same logic applies in your favor. The final number may look like the result of rational back and forth. Underneath, it is the result of where the conversation began. The mechanism beneath the surface of anchoring. Here is where most explanations of anchoring stop short. They tell you that the first number matters. What they do not explain is the specific cognitive sequence that makes it so durable. When your counterpart hears your opening number, 3 things happen quickly. First, they evaluate it against their own internal sense of value. Second, they decide on a counter. Third, they feel the pull to keep their counter within some reasonable distance of your figure. Because a wildly distant counter feels aggressive or unserious, even when it is perfectly justified. The anchor has done its work before a single word of rebuttal is spoken. The second layer of the mechanism is framing. Your anchor does not just set a number, it sets a frame for what counts as a reasonable outcome. If you open at a high figure, then concede a modest amount, your counterpart experiences that concession as a gain. They feel they have won something. Their emotional satisfaction rises. The final number may still be closer to your position than theirs, but the frame has made it feel fair. This is why skilled negotiators do not just think about the anchor. They think about the concessions they are willing to make from it, and they plan those concessions before the conversation begins. The third layer is social. Anchors create implicit obligations. If one side names a large number, both parties feel obligated to at least engage with it. Silence or dismissal is socially costly. So the counterpart responds, and in responding, they legitimize the anchor as part of the discussion. The number has entered the room, and it stays there. Understanding all 3 layers matters, because it changes how you prepare. You are not just choosing a number. You are choosing a frame, a concession path, and a social starting point. That is a richer preparation task than most people bring to a negotiation. What anchoring looks like when it plays out in real life. Consider a straightforward salary conversation. A candidate is asked what they are looking for. Instead of deflecting or asking what the budget is, they name a specific figure, not a round number, but a precise one, stated with quiet confidence and a single clear reason. The hiring manager pauses. Their internal budget had a ceiling. The candidate's figure sits above it. But now the manager is adjusting from that anchor rather than from their own number. The conversation moves differently than it would have if the manager had spoken first. Or take a freelance contract discussion. A client opens by suggesting a project fee. The figure is modest. The freelancer, having not prepared a counter-anchor, tries to negotiate upward, but stays mentally tethered to the client's number. They end up with something 15% above the opening offer and feel like they negotiated well. They likely did not. The client's anchor was the ground. Everything grew from it. Now reverse the freelancer scenario. The freelancer names their fee first, before the client offers anything. The fee is ambitious, but grounded in a clear rationale. The client's internal sense of the project's value begins to recalibrate. The final agreed figure is higher than it would have been. Not because the freelancer was aggressive, but because they planted the reference point. These same dynamics appear in high-stakes deals and everyday purchases. The scale changes, the mechanism does not. Why intelligent people still get this wrong? If anchoring is this well understood, why do so many capable people walk into negotiations unprepared to set the first offer? Part of the answer is cultural. Many of us were taught that naming a bold number first is pushy, greedy, or rude. We associate restraint with professionalism and virtue. So we hold back, dress the hesitation up as politeness, and hand the other side the most powerful move on the board. This is not humility. It is a misunderstanding of what respect looks like in a negotiation. Part of the answer is fear of looking foolish. If you name a high number and the other side laughs or walks away, it stings. So people moderate their anchor before they even say it, hedging down to a figure they can defend against ridicule rather than a figure that serves their actual interests. The anchor never gets set because it was already diluted in the preparation stage. The deeper reason, though, is that people focus on the number itself rather than the rationale behind it. A strong anchor is not just a bold figure. It is a figure attached to a reason. That reason does not have to be elaborate. It does not have to be airtight. It just has to exist, because a reasoned anchor is far harder to dismiss than a bare number. When people skip the rationale, they lose confidence in their anchor before the other side has even responded. Thinking about how high-stakes messages are framed before they are sent often sheds light on the same principle: the frame you build around a position shapes how it is received, far more than the position itself. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last, and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. How to set an anchor that actually holds. There are four things that determine whether a first offer lands as powerful or as noise. Specificity over round numbers. A figure of 47,500 carries more weight than 50,000. Round numbers signal that you guessed. Specific numbers signal that you calculated. The counterpart unconsciously treats a specific figure as better researched, and therefore harder to dismiss. Rationale attached, briefly. Name the number, then give one clear reason. Not a lecture, not a justification spiral, one sentence that connects the figure to something real. This is not about convincing the other side. It is about giving yourself the confidence to hold the anchor when pressure comes. Calm delivery, no apology. The moment you soften an anchor with qualifiers or nervous laughter, you have undermined it. State the number as if it is the obvious starting point, because in your preparation, it should be. Prepare your concessions in advance. This is the step most people skip. Decide before the conversation what you are willing to move on, and by how much. An anchor without a planned concession path is a number you cannot build on. With a plan, every concession you make feels generous rather than desperate. For moments, retention rises after the anchor is placed and the other side pushes back hard. Knowing how to stay grounded during a tense workplace conversation gives you the composure to hold your position without the conversation turning corrosive. When you are not the one who sets the anchor, sometimes you will not set the first offer. The other side will anchor before you have the chance. This is not a defeat. It is a moment that requires a specific response. The worst thing you can do is adjust silently from their number. The second worst is to reject it emotionally without replacing it. What works is this: acknowledge their figure briefly, then name yours. Not as a counteroffer in the conventional sense, but as a re-anchor. You are not negotiating from their starting point. You're replacing the reference point with your own. This requires a pause before you respond. Take it. A few seconds of silence after someone names a figure is not weakness. It is the space in which you reset rather than react. Being able to de-escalate arguments, to flare up during tense moments is valuable here, because the act of re-anchoring can feel confrontational to the other side. The skill is in staying direct without becoming combative. If you find yourself in a pattern where feedback or disagreement keeps derailing the negotiation before you can re-anchor, the tools in how to resolve disagreements about feedback at work translate well to keeping the core conversation on track. The preparation no one does enough of. Setting the first offer is a preparation task before it is a performance task. The conversation itself takes minutes. The thinking that makes it effective takes much longer. Know your anchor before you walk in. Know your rationale. Know the minimum outcome you will accept. Know what concessions you are willing to make and in what order. Know the moment at which you will walk away. When all of that is clear in your mind before the conversation begins, the act of setting the first offer becomes less an act of courage and more an act of readiness. For anyone who wants to understand how tone and psychological dynamics shape these high-stakes exchanges, looking closely at nuance and tone in high-stakes feedback conversations offers a useful parallel. What you say matters less than how the other person receives it, and that reception is shaped long before your words reach them. Staying calm when the other side pushes back on your anchor is its own skill. The core framework for staying calm when reactions turn defensive is a practical method for exactly that moment. And when the language around your position needs to be precise and non-confrontational, the neutral problem statement is a tool worth having ready. What the first number actually reveals about you. Here is the truth of it. The first offer you make in a negotiation tells the other side something deeper than a price. It tells them how much you have prepared, how clearly you know your own value, and how seriously they should take the conversation that follows. A weak anchor reveals uncertainty. A bold, reasoned anchor reveals that you have done the work, that you respect the conversation enough to come into it with a clear position, and that you're someone worth negotiating with seriously. That reputation compounds over time. The negotiators I have trusted most across my life were not the ones who pushed hardest. They were the ones who came prepared, set their position clearly, and held it with quiet strength. Setting the first offer is not an act of aggression. It is an act of respect for the process and for yourself. Frequently asked questions. What is setting the first offer in negotiation? Setting the first offer means naming a number before your counterpart does. In anchoring, this opening bit creates a psychological reference point that pulls the final agreement toward it. Whoever sets the anchor gains significant influence over where the negotiation ends. Does setting the first offer really give you an advantage? Yes, and the advantage is substantial. The first number creates a cognitive pull that affects every subsequent figure discussed. Even experienced negotiators are influenced by it. The closer the final outcome lands to your anchor, the more powerful your opening position was. How do you set a strong anchor in a negotiation? Prepare a specific, well-reasoned number that sits at the ambitious end of your realistic range. Avoid round numbers, which signal guessing. State your anchor with calm confidence and a brief rationale. Never apologize for the figure or soften it with qualifiers that invite the other side to dismiss it. What should you do when the other side sets the anchor first? Do not accept their frame. Explicitly name what they have done. Then restate the conversation using your own reference point. Pause before responding. A counteranchor placed firmly and calmly can shift the psychological center of the negotiation back toward your range. Why do people underestimate the power of the first offer? Because the effect is invisible. We feel we are reasoning logically when we are actually adjusting from a reference point we never chose. The pull is real even when people know it exists, which is why preparation before setting the first offer matters so much. Can anchoring backfire in a negotiation? It can, if the anchor is so extreme that it signals bad faith and breaks rapport. The risk is not in going high or ambitious, but in going so far beyond reason that the other side disengages entirely. A strong anchor is ambitious, but arguable, not absurd. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.